Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Welcome back, or welcome to Gardening Naturally. Nice day today, until it rains. They're talking about we need to pay attention rain-wise. Some places are predicted to get like half an inch. That's a great rain. You know, all day, half an inch of rain, that works out good. Some places are showing as much as 4 inches. That's a bad thing. 4 inches of rain in a short period of time, that translates to flash flooding. And if you're new to Texas and you haven't heard it yet, we flash flood. We're one of the worst places in the country when it comes to flash flooding. Simple saying, turn around, don't drown. Never drive through water that is going to cause you a problem that you can't get out of. When they put the gates down on high low water crossing problems, don't go around them. Every year, we have people who are like, no, no, I got the big four-wheel drive. I'll be fine. And they need to be rescued. So don't drive through the gates and turn around. Don't drown. Do not drive through water you can't see the bottom of. And even just a couple of inches of water on the road is enough to drive you away, to get you in a ditch or in trouble. Now, this rain, we really need it. It looks like it's going to be falling in places that we need the water in to help with the lakes. That's beneficial. So hopefully it's going to fall in the right location. That's all we're hoping for. If we're going to get rain, yeah, I'd like it to rain on my property. I don't want to run sprinklers. I don't even want to run soaker hoses. I would rather survive on the rain that falls from the sky. But we may be getting lots of rain. Lots and lots of rain. Just be ready for it. One of the things about the humidity and the moisture we've had, I bet most of you are seeing snails. Yeah, me too. Lots of snails. Not at all happy about it. They're disgusting. I hate walking. I mean, walking in the grass and hear crunching. What do you do about it? There is a product called Sluggo. It is a bait for the snails. They like it. It is something that they want to eat when it's in front of them. And when they eat it, it will poison them and kill them. I have an exterior building on my property, and I get one wall, one exterior wall will be covered with snails. And that's gross. I mean, ugh. So Sluggo works just fine at safely getting rid of the snails. You can use Sluggo around your plants. You know how the snails will crawl up on your plants and latch on? Well, Sluggo will keep them away. Sluggo Plus includes the product Spinosad. That'll help take care of things like cutworms, roly-polies, pill bugs. And it's safe to use in your garden. So if you've got a bunch of snails and you're tired of them, look for Sluggo or Sluggo Plus. Both of them will attack the slugs. The Plus will also get rid of cutworms and pill bugs, roly-polies. It is safe to use, and man, the number of snails we're going to have, because moisture is just perfect for them right now, with the humidity, with rain coming, we get this misty situation, they're everywhere, and they're disgusting. Are they at all beneficial? Only sort of. Their shells will break down and add nutrient, usually mineral, to the soil, but it does that best when they're dead. So do your best to get them gone by using by applying the Sluggo. Now, little disadvantage here. We're probably going to get a lot of rain today, through the night till tomorrow morning. You will not get a benefit putting Sluggo out right this minute. This little granular bait will dissolve in water. I mean, not one drop of water, boom, it's gone, but it will break down. So maybe after the rain today, maybe tomorrow when the sun starts to show up again, you can start putting the Sluggo back out to get it to get the slugs out of there. But it's a good product that works well and goes a long way. It comes in like a 1 pound shaker, and this little granule, you just shake it out and put it where the problem is. The other thing you're gonna see a lot of with this rain, fire ant mounds. They will rise up. They're going to try to keep the water out of the mound. So you're going to see them coming to the surface. Be prepared for it. This is a great time to get your fire ant bait, whether you're using a liquid or a granular bait. This is not a bad time at all to also distribute beneficial nematodes to attack the ants. Moisture in the soil benefits the beneficial nematodes. The fire ant bait, they will take, sprinkle it. Don't disturb the mound. Don't stir it up. You are not helping. If you see the mound, simply sprinkle the bait around the mound, kind of make a visual picture of it, and come out and check every day or so to see how much of it has been taken to the mound. That will tell you that it's going to work by killing the actual queen. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Got to take a break. Be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, I had some people that were sending texts in because I mentioned I was growing the Aunt Molly's ground cherry that I had started seed. And they did too, and they wanted to see what was going on. I gotta tell you, folks, slowest growing plant I have put in my garden. It took 21 days to the day for them to even germinate, show any green at all. And when they popped up, they were the smallest plant I had seen. I mean, these were tiny little hair-thick stems, and it took them what seemed like forever to finally grow true leaves. Yep, and guess what? I go out there yesterday, and I'm checking on them. I was about ready to give up on them. They're starting to look like decent little plants now. And I go out and I look at them in their 4-inch pots, and they're blooming just like they're supposed to. They're covered with little buds. I actually have some of them that flowered. I was amazed. They took forever, and boom, out of the blue, I'm going to have ground cherries. Now, I'm leaving them in the 4-inch pot for a while. We're debating on whether we plant them in a large container or in the ground. I happen to have two. I'm going to give away the others to family, but I happen to have two, and one is probably going to go in a container, and the other one's probably going to go in the ground, and we'll see who performs better. Just so surprised. Man, it was slow growing, and they were so tiny, and right out of the blue, even a super small plant, they're trying to produce ground cherries. Amazing. Let's go to the phone. This is Steven. What can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff. Appreciate you very much and everything you do for the community. Two questions. One, I'm out here in Driftwood, and I lost two oak trees, and they weren't live oaks. I'm not sure. It might have been a bur oak or something, but one of them is probably older than me, and I'm pretty old, you know. But anyways, my question is I thought about putting in a couple of peach trees out here in Driftwood. I was talking to a neighbor, and they said that they had like 40 peach trees out somewhere in the hill country, and they said that they're down to like one or two now, and they said that we're not getting enough chill hours for them to produce fruit. And, you know, she was saying, I wouldn't waste your money on planting peach trees. So I just wanted to get your input on, is it worthwhile to plant peach trees? I mean, are we getting enough chill hours for peaches?
Okay. I gave up on them years ago. Partly because of the problem you're talking about. When I first moved here, I put in a couple of peaches.
Yeah.
And by the time they were big enough to produce peaches, we had already changed our chill hours, and they weren't getting enough chill hours. So
right.
I gave up on them, took them out. However, nurseries now have a larger selection of peaches, ones that may take 700 chill hours and ones that may take only 350.
Mm.
So depending on the variety you buy,
right,
you can control that to some extent.
Exactly.
And if you have room for more than one, I recommend this. You buy one that's somewhere around the high-end number of chill hours required based
mm-hmm.
on where you live. And then
yeah.
you buy one that is on the low end. That increases your odds of one or the other of them producing a peach.
That's a good idea. So that way, you know, you're not putting all your eggs in one basket with buying two trees of the same species.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
cool.
if they're close,
yeah.
they'll pollinate each other. And you'll actually
yeah.
get a better harvest. But this kind of covers your bases.
Yeah. Okay. And one last question. So I know you've talked about lemon versus lime trees. And
yes.
I want to buy one of these and put it in a pot and have it on the patio. And I remember you talking about one is better suited than the other one. And then do I need any kind of special soil for citrus trees in a pot?
Last question first. No, yeah. You just need very good draining soil. Perfect. So whatever you use, just make sure it'll drain really well.
Yep.
Is one better than the other? A lime is much less cold tolerant. You can kill it. You can kill it at 32 degrees.
Okay, so you're better off with a lemon.
Yeah. A lemon can handle maybe 28. If you're doing them in containers, worst case, you move it into the garage or something when you're going to have bad weather coming.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to do. Is, you know, I got a dolly and I could put them in a pot, and then when it you know, the weather gets really cold, I'll just move them in for several days or a week or whatever.
Yeah,
cool. Hey.
Move them in until it's warm enough. Yeah,
exactly.
You can be very successful.
Oh, one thing, I heard you mention that peach trees don't live very long. How long does a peach tree live for?
In our environment, we have a thing called a peach tree borer. Fruit tree borer, I should call it, because it affects more than just peaches. If you keep your tree healthy, you do everything you can for it, and you can do what you can to keep the borer away, 15 years of production would not be a bad number. More than that, maybe not. But it all depends on its health.
Exactly. 20 years. Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, and I even know apple trees. They don't live that long either.
Right, right. You'd be lucky to get 20 good years, and that would be on the lucky side.
Perfect. Okay, Jeff, you take care, and it's a marvelous day. We got rain coming. It's overcast. I'm out walking a dog, and you take care.
You too. Thanks for the call. Yeah, folks, our fruit trees, excuse me, are not that long-lived. It's just a thing of the tree. Even our native Mexican plum, nope, fruit tree borers are going to attack it. And you're going to have a hard time keeping one alive for a very long period of time. Planted one as part of the landscape I had designed here in my home, and we took it out at about 10 years. It looked bad. It didn't give me that really pretty spring bloom as a minimum. So fruit trees, even native fruit trees, are not great. Folks, I got to take a break for the news. I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is James. James, what can I help you with?
Morning, Jeff. I'm just calling to remind your pecan growers that they haven't got a lot of time left to get the two releases of trichogrammas for the pecan nut case bear that's coming to town in early May. So
that's right.
What I got for you.
That's right. And that is the simplest way to control that bugger so that it's not ruining all of the pecans that you're going to wind up harvesting. And you know, the nasty thing about that bug, other than it ruins the pecan, you might never see it. And it might attack your pecan months before you go to harvest it. So the wasps are one very effective method to keep control of them. And they're not going to bother you or anybody else. They're just going to go after those nut borers that just ruin your crop.
Yeah, Malcolm, Beck found out that two releases are pretty much necessary to get up enough an army of trichos to defend your crop about the 1st of May when they show up. So you can probably get a order in today or maybe Monday. You can get them overnighted and then another order the 1st of May ought to get you going in the right direction.
You know, and this is really a great method for control because it's about the cleanest biological method you can use to control these insects. And you know, James, it's not just the pecans. Someone called and asked me, I'm sorry I didn't bring it up earlier, a couple of weeks ago about whether the trichos would work on mountain laurels. And I really didn't have an answer. So I had to do some digging, and there's like 40 different pests, you know, caterpillars, nutcase borers, things like that, that these things will control. And I found a couple of lists that said, yeah, even the mountain laurel pest. So this is something that maybe you consider doing once a year for your whole garden, not just for a specific plant. So these are super beneficial. Yeah.
The Texas Bug Book recommends April to May is the best time to do your releases. Texas Bug Book is recommending the trichos and also lacewings in this part of the year. And then if you want to follow up, lacewings every month or two weeks from then on out. And then, again, if you're going to do broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and all the blue leaves, get them going in the fall so you got protection from the loopers and the cabbage worms.
Yep. I got lucky this year and haven't seen any, nor have I seen any cutworms. So I've gotten kind of lucky so far this year, but you have to be attentive. You have to keep your eyes open. A gardener needs 5 minutes to glance through their garden to see what's going around. If you got an orchard, you need to take a walk fairly frequently to check out your trees because they can overwhelm you in a hurry.
Well, if you give up a few Starbucks a month, you can afford the beneficials. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and they will be cheaper than trying to buy any commercial conventional spray to control them. And they'll be more effective too.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for the call, James. It's a good reminder. Yeah, folks, we immediately go, kill them bugs dead. No, that's not what we want to do. Nature balances itself out. When there's a predator, there's a prey. Sometimes the prey is a predator to something else. We've worked really hard to learn what will attack the pests that we don't want in our garden. And come to find out, there are other bugs. They're not nasty sprays or dusts or things like that. You've got webworms, pecan, nutcase borers. You've got all these pests that you want to control. Well, guess what? All of those pests have a predator. And you can purchase the eggs for those predators and release them on your property, and they will balance things out for you. From aphids to caterpillars, mites, all kinds of nasty insects can be controlled with a beneficial insect. Whenever you use a spray, you're killing good guys and bad guys. You may pick up a bag of pesticide and it says, kills 50 types of bugs. It only lists the bad bugs on there. It doesn't tell you it kills the good guys too. And that's the problem. If you kill the beneficial, you got to do its job. You got to be out there and control the bad guys. And I'm sorry, no, I'm going to let the beneficials take over because I don't want to use all those sprays. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, I get this question a lot. People had used a lot of the off-the-shelf conventional products for taking care of their landscape or their garden or trees or whatever. And they're like, I don't want to do it that way anymore. I want to take a more organic approach to what's going on, how I'm dealing with herbicides, pesticides, things like that. Then the following question becomes, what do I do with this stuff I have? And a lot of times they will go, well, I can take it to a hazardous waste disposal. Most cities have them. If you live in the city, they got one day a month or something like that where you can bring in hazardous waste. And leftover pesticides, leftover fertilizers, things like that, they'll take them. Here's the issue. They don't take them and destroy them. They take them and give them to somebody else. So if you're making the conversion to a more organic approach, follow the directions on what you already have. No double dosing, anything like that. Use it correctly until you have used it all. And then buy new organic replacement. The idea that the hazardous waste folks are going to get rid of it for you is not true. They're going to just let somebody else take and use it. That's fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But if you've already paid for it, use it following the directions explicitly. Use it until it's gone. Then you can start moving to more organic approaches to taking care of your problems in your garden. Let's go to the phone. This is Kevin. Kevin, what can I help you with?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Last July, we had 6 Spartan junipers installed along the fence line about 8 feet apart. They stayed healthy, no problems. Plenty of mulch. They're regularly irrigated twice a week. This year, to complete that fence line, we installed 6 more blue tip junipers in between each one. So they're spaced about 4 feet apart now. We had those done about a month ago. Since then, 2 of the Spartan junipers have turned about 50% brown. I did slap one of the branches onto a white piece of paper. Several insects did come off. We did have the company come back out, do a insecticide on them. but I'm just wondering if that's going to be normal from the shock of the new ones coming in, or if there's something that I can do, or if those two are on their way out.
They're not on their way out. It is not unusual for junipers to get things like mites. And the mites can brown out a branch. So controlling the mites can control the damage that occurs. And remember, these bugs are not linear. They may, out of the 10 plants you have, they may attack only one. And it may be like the third one in the line, not the end of the line or the beginning, but really bizarre behavior where you're going, this shouldn't make sense. But mites are a problem for junipers. Now, they're not deadly per se if you address them, but it would not be a surprise to see them on the junipers, the cedars, Italian cypress. All of those plants are they're ones that will host the mites, so getting control of them early will get them back in business. I do have a question for you, though. It sounds like you're watering a lot.
Okay.
If you water one day, go out there before the next time it's supposed to auto water and stick your fingers in the soil. Is the soil moist? I would be turning that irrigation off completely if you get a fair amount of rain today. I would turn it off completely for at least a week if you get more than an inch of rain.
Okay. And how frequently should the insect control be applied?
Usually you can get ahead. You get an application. A week or two later, you do an inspection and see, hey, do I still have the problem? And you may get a second application, even if it looks like they're gone, just to get ahead of it, just to make sure that, look, there's nobody hiding that didn't get it, and I turn around and they explode in population and attack the tree. Normally, we might treat. Now, they're probably using a chemical. We would, in the organic methods we could use, we may spray twice a week till we are confident we have control of the pest.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. I was just worried about losing them. So they're about 50% brown, so I was really getting curious. They seem to be eroded, and I haven't seen them in the last week get worse. So maybe that first application took care of the issue.
It can help. Also, if you can identify that, in fact, you are getting mites. We were talking about ordering beneficial insects. You can order mites that will kill the other mites. And that way you don't ever have to spray. They're always there taking care of your trees. Kevin, got to stop. We're at the top of the hour. Folks, this has been Gardening Naturally. Enjoy the day, watch the rain, and I will talk to you all tomorrow at 8 o'clock.